Hold everything in your hands loosely. Otherwise, it hurts when God pries your fingers open. Corey Ten Boom. Welcome to another episode of King Me Ministries podcast. It does continue to be an adventure to share what God is uncovering for me in His Word, and it's an honor for me to share that with you. If you are liking the podcast, give it a share, let other people know what we're doing, and would you consider leaving a review? Now let's get right into it. Now there's a story that I tell a lot, or have in the past. It's a story of a man who's super wealthy, and before he dies, he tells his family that he wants them to take all of his wealth and convert it into gold, and then he wants them to bury it with him. And the story goes that when he dies and he stands before St. Peter at the entrance of heaven, you know, St. Peter looks at him, then he looks at the gold that he's trying to drag in, and he looks back at the man, and with a curious look, he says, "Why did you bring all this pavement with you?" That story, it serves as a reminder for me that the things that we run after the most on this earth, well, that's the stuff that our feet are going to walk on one day in heaven. What we run after, the gold, the wealth, is nothing more than pavement in heaven. Jesus makes a profound statement in the book of Matthew. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Men are shaped by the things that they love. Think about that. Look into the life of any man. Dig around and find out what it is that he really loves. Not the things that he says he loves, but the things that he really loves. It is those things that shape a man. Eugene Peterson puts Jesus' words this way. He says, "Don't hoard treasures down here where it gets eaten by moths and is corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasures in heaven where it is safe from moth and rust and burglars." It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Jesus is wrapping up his Sermon on the Mount here, and he's saying that there is another economy that most of us never even consider. We think this life is all that there is, and that's why far too many people buy into the lie that the man with the most toys wins. Peter himself echoes this thing that Jesus is teaching. He says, "Friends, this world is not our home, so don't make yourself too cozy in it." He's saying, don't invest in things here on earth. Don't invest in the earth. Don't put all your eggs in this basket. There's more to come. I've been in ministry for about 20 years now. I've done countless funerals, and I have never once seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. It doesn't matter what you acquire here on earth. None of us gets to take it with us. It sounds like a cliche, but it's something that we have to be reminded of, that we come into this world with nothing and we leave with the same amount. Everything that you and I acquire on this earth in this lifetime will be left for somebody else to enjoy. Francis Chan had one of the most phenomenal illustrations that I've ever seen in all of ministry. He's trying to help other people understand how short life is and how long eternity is. And so he has this long rope. It has a beginning and it has no end. And the end of the rope is probably hidden off stage somewhere. But you can see pretty clearly that the rope has a beginning, and it's illustrating that there is no end to your existence. You and I have a beginning. We all have a birth date. And though we all will succumb to leaving this earth, our existence never ends. We are made to live forever by God's design. But in this illustration, he takes like the first couple inches of that long and endless rope, and he paints it red, and the rest of the rope is white. And he does that to illustrate that this red part is your life. This is your time here on earth. And if you look at it in relation to the length of a never-ending rope, that couple inches of red are pretty insignificant. And that's the point, right? You and I are born and we have a short time on this earth. And most of us are so focused on investing in that little short red spot, but we completely ignore the fact that we're going to live forever. We're making investments in the here and now, and maybe even for our retirement, but even that is small and insignificant compared to the when you compare it to the reality that you and I are going to live forever. And you and I can never know with certainty how long that red part is for us. Each of us, time is a commodity. It's the only commodity that you and I have that you don't even, you can't even be sure of how much you have. Some of us may have 80 years, some of us may have 60. I may die tomorrow. I have no idea. Nothing's been promised to us. The only thing that's been promised is that we will, once we leave this body, live for eternity. And so the point is this: are we investing in this short little bit of time that we have on earth, or are we switching our mindset to start thinking about things in investments and where we're going to spend eternity? And Jesus is saying, he says to us, he says, don't store up treasures for earth. Use your time here on earth to make an investment in where you're going to spend eternity. It's kind of like you can send your investment that from this earth into a future time that you're going to exist in eternity. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, what do you and I have that we didn't receive? And if we did receive it, why do we boast as though we did not? Why do we think that what we've received is of us? It was a gift. It was given to us. We shouldn't boast of that. What you have is not really yours. I don't know who said it, but it makes sense. If it can be taken from you, and it will, right? Then it's not really yours. King David, he declares that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So the thing that we run after, the material things that we acquire, we are merely managers of those things. We didn't make them. We don't really own them. And when we leave this world, we don't get to bring them with us. We go, but they stay. Jesus once told a story to illustrate his point. It's a story that I've never fully understood until recently. He tells of this dishonest manager who is busted and he's about to be confronted and lose his job. And knowing this, he begins to settle the accounts with his master's debtors at terms that are favorable to the one that owes. He says, you owe my master 100. How about I just switch your bill and make it 50? He did this so that he would be treated kindly by those people after he is fired and loses his job. Jesus praises this man, not for being a dishonest manager, but for two pretty clear reasons. The manager knew that he had to give an account to his master for his behavior. And two, he took advantage of his present position to arrange for his future. He used what he had now to invest in the next season of his life outside of the job that he had. And when you think of it that way, that you and I will have to give an account for our life, and that we should use our resources, our time, our gifts now to prepare for that time when we leave this earth and enter the new one. Now, nothing in God's word tells me that we shouldn't have nice things, or even that it's wrong to pursue nice things and to acquire even more nice things. While contentment with what you have is a godly attribute, and I believe that honors God, the real test is, why do we acquire those things? What is our purpose in having what we run after? Are we like the dishonest manager as we use our material things of this world to build wealth in the place that we will spend eternity? I think that is what Jesus is saying. Things alone are useless to us in the long run unless we use those resources to build wealth in the kingdom of God, the place that we will spend eternity. Remember, Jesus said, this is the larger work that I've called you into. But don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't miss out on a thing. He's saying, if you give a cup of cold water to somebody in need, well, that is investing in your eternal future. You are bringing the principles of the kingdom of God to earth, and nothing will destroy or take that reward away from you. God promises that he will remember those acts, those investments, and one day you will receive your reward. You are building up treasure in heaven that you one day will enjoy, and it'll never be taken away from us. But here's the reality. Most of us get caught in the monkey trap that is set for us. If you know how monkeys can easily be trapped, you know that they're offered something that's valuable to them. It's food, right? That the food is placed in a bottle or a coconut where the monkey's hand can slide into, but where it's not big enough for them to retract their hand if it's clenched around the object that you're using to trap them. The monkey wants what is being offered so badly that they refuse to let go. But they're trapped so long as they hold on to that item. Those that are looking to capture the monkey, they come along and find them trapped by their own will because they refuse to let go of what they want so badly. That monkey is free to go at any time it wants to. All it has to do is let go of the food and they are free. And just like that monkey, we get trapped the exact same way. We see something we want and we grip it at any cost to us. Could be consumer debt, compromising our God-ordained values. It just traps us because we want that thing more than we want our freedom. God is not afraid of us having things and even pursuing more things. He's more concerned with the why. Why do you want a bigger house? Why do you need that new truck? Why is your income not sufficient for your budget? I remember having my oldest daughter, Kim, when she was a little girl. I remember giving her an iPad, and she was so excited. But what I realized after I gave her that gift is that gift that I gave her actually was a wedge, and we ended up spending less and less time because the time that she was spending with me was now being spent with the iPad that I gave her. And I think that me as an average dad, that's kind of a microcosm of God, right? When God gives us a gift, do we take that gift, whether it be money, whether it be fame, whether it be whatever it might be, do we take what he's given us and do we use that to pursue the things for ourselves? Or do we take that gift that he's given and does that gift draw us closer to him? Do we use that gift to bring into focus his kingdom? Do we use it to love the people that he's loved? That's really what God is most concerned of when it comes to the things that he's given us. As a pastor, and before that as a youth pastor, and before that I was part of the youth group. And one of the things that was always part of those groups was what I'd like to call a hand check. The pastor, the youth pastor would always say, hand check, and show me your hands, right? Yeah, make sure that you're not doing anything inappropriate. Nobody's holding hands, whatever that might be. That was a big thing. And sometimes God will do that exact thing. He will say, hand check. Let me see your hands. What are you holding on to? Are you gripping something that is keeping you from freedom, that is trapping you? God will do that. And he did that with Abraham once. And if you look at the story in Genesis 22, you could preach a series of sermons just on that. There's a lot going on there. But one of the things that I've discovered is that God is asking Abraham for a hand check. God blesses Abraham with a son. Abraham is a friend of God, and Abraham shares his disdain. He says, yeah, God, you've given me some good things and your presence is amazing, but I have no son to carry on my name. And God gives him a son. In his old age, he blesses him with a son. And he says, this is the son of promise. It's through this son that I'm going to bless the entire world. One day, God calls Abraham and he says, Abraham presents himself to God. And God says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your son, the son whom you love. 22 chapters into the Bible, and it's the first time you hear the word love. The son that you love, Abraham, I want you to take him to this mountain that I will show you, and I want you to sacrifice him there. And the Bible tells us that immediately, the next morning he goes, which tells me a couple things, right? One is Abraham didn't tell his wife Sarah about this because I think that she would have required a little bit longer of a pause. But Abraham was given the command by God for him, and he follows it immediately. And we know that right before the act of killing Isaac, the voice of God commands Abraham to stop. He says to Abraham, "Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." God had asked Abraham what he lacked, and Abraham said, "I lack a son." And God gave him a son, and Abraham adored that son, and he loved him, and he appreciated him, and he spoke into him, and he knew that that was what was going to outlast him. That was his legacy. And God, like I said, he always and often does, he hand checks. "Abraham, do you love this more than you love me?" And Abraham was tested in that. And Abraham came out of that test being able to say and to show God that, "God, I hold nothing above you. Nothing is more important to me, not even the most beautiful things that you have given me." When you and I arrive at a place in our walk with God, when we can look at our life and our lifestyle, and we look at the things that we have, and we realize that they really aren't ours, we start to view them very differently. And when we start to look at the things that we do have in our lives, the money and the talents and the things that we've been entrusted with, when we look at them as resources that if held loosely and used for the glory of God, well, we learn that when we leave this world empty-handed, we can have the certainty that great wealth awaits us, more valuable than the gold pavement of heaven. And it's being held in a place that cannot be diminished or be taken from us. Oh, to have that kind of mindset about everything we possess. It changes everything when we hold it loosely. Let me pray for us. Almighty God, what a revelation it is to some of us to look at the things that we have and know that you're the author, you're the creator, you're the one that has made them, and you're the one that ultimately owns them. Thank you for revealing that to us. Lord, help us to see the lies of this world that tell us that we should get more and more and more and never be satisfied with what we have. Never look at what we have and think we should use this for God's glory. We think about this few years that we have in this life, and that prevents us, it blinds us from seeing that we are going to spend a million years upon a million years in eternity. And 60, 80, 90 years of life will seem so insignificant. But because of your economy, you've given us this life that we can invest and prepare for the one to come. So Father, help us to hold things loosely. Help us to understand their origin is from your hand given to us. Help us to not cling to it. Help us to be satisfied with what you've given us, and help us to use what you've given us to invest in the kingdom to come. Help us to see the things that we have as resources to love people, to bless people, to help them where they are. And knowing all the time that what you've given us is a currency that builds wealth in a place that we will all go one day. Father, I thank you that through your son and his finished work, we have been invited into a right relationship with you, into forgiveness of our sins, and that we can be assured of that place in eternity that we call heaven, which is really about being with you and being close to you for all eternity. We thank you for that. We thank you for your son, and we worship you for that. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to change our mindset, to hold it loosely and to use it for your glory, and to look forward to the day when you pay your bills and you give us what we've invested in that kingdom. Lord, may your name be great in all that we do. May we look to you and your hands as the one that gives us. May you be the center of our lives and our story. And Father, I know that whatever gift, whatever I have treasured up in heaven, Lord, I know that you're the only one worthy of that. And I look forward to the one day when we all bow before you and I can take all the things that you've given me and I can lay them at your feet because you're the only one worthy of that. Father, I look forward to that day. And until that day, Lord, let me use what I have. Let us use what we have for your glory and for the betterment of your kingdom and for your people. Father, we love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening again to the podcast. I'm not even going to go back and listen to this because I just felt like it was just like a pouring out of my heart of something that God had put on me. So I hope it made sense. I hope you're able to see God in all of that. And I hope that God is using that to help you understand what he's calling us to do. Hold things loosely. Don't get trapped by wealth and things because they're all going to be taken from us one day. And the only thing that we're going to have left is the things that we did in his name for other people. And that will never be taken away from us. So I hope you took that away from today's lesson. And I do look forward to next week when we get to share some of God's word again. Until then, may God bless you. May God be present in your life. May you see him everywhere you go. God bless you guys.